First of all, congratulations on your new job.
Thank you.
You'll be returning to your hometown of Tulsa. What made you want that job?
You know, this is the district that I attended as a student from kindergarten through high school. And so there's something really special about that. My parents are still there, my sister, my niece and nephew, just family and close friends. And being a superintendent of a large urban district is something that I've thought about for a long time and really wondered about doing that job.
Looking at your time in Rhode Island, there's been just so much going on, from the firing of teachers at Central Falls High School back in 2010. There were battles over teacher evaluations, standardized testing for a high school diploma. It seems like almost from the moment you arrived, you were called controversial. And I'm wondering why you think that is.
Well, I think that anytime you're leading change, it creates some disruption. And so it just comes with the territory, really. If you're making real change, change that is going to actually make a difference and be lasting, you're going to have to get underneath the surface and move things around in a way that sometimes makes people uncomfortable. So I think it just comes with being a leader of change.
What are you most proud of when you look at your record in Rhode Island?
You know, there are so many things that I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact that we have raised expectations for what our students are capable of and what our teachers are capable of as well. And I think that has definitely changed, particularly for students of color, particularly for students in our urban areas. I remember, you know, when I first came to the state, there were very strong feelings about whether or not urban students were capable, and many people didn't believe that they were, to a degree that I really hadn't seen before. And I feel like while there's still some of that sentiment that people will, you know, say all the reasons that kids can't achieve and try to convince you that it can't happen, that doesn't happen as much anymore at all. So many more people understand that kids are capable. They recognize that we need to do more to help them because they have other challenges that they're bringing into the classroom. So we don't, you know, we acknowledge that it's more difficult, but that they are capable.
And Rhode Island has made some progress on graduation rates and even in some of our what we call achievement gaps, which is the difference in standardized test scores between white students and students in higher income brackets and low-income students and minority students. But those achievement gaps are still there and they're not easy to fill. In your view, what will it take to solve that problem?
I think sustained work that has already begun. I also think that learning from the schools and programs that are really seeing strong results, looking at schools like, you know, Blackstone Academy, like Beacon Charter School, that have really high success with students, particularly around graduation, getting students and getting them to reach graduation.
Deborah Gist, you mentioned Beacon Charter School and Blackstone Academy, another charter school. And the charter school movement right now seems to be facing increased pressure from critics who say they're draining money away from district public schools. Is there some truth to that argument?
Well, I think that it's true that, you know, when a student leaves a system and the funding goes with them, that means that that system no longer has that funding available. They're also no longer educating that child. So the argument is that there are things that that system has to continue paying for. You know, you don't lose a whole class of second graders so that you can cut, say, a second grade class. And I think that that's certainly understandable. At the same time, I believe very much in parents' abilities to make decisions about their child's education, and the system has to be there for the child. We don't invest in public education to maintain bureaucracies. We invest in public education to educate children. I think there's a way, if we come together in good faith and sit around a table, we can figure out how to improve our funding formula to acknowledge the concerns that both the charter schools have about facilities and that public school districts have about costs that they bear that charter schools don't. And I'm quite confident that Rhode Islanders can work that out.
As education commissioner, you have pushed for some changes that have since been rolled back. You pushed for annual teacher evaluations. Now that's being done just once every 2 to 3 years for most teachers, the vast majority of teachers. You supported test scores for a high school diploma. That's now on hold. The use of test scores for teacher evaluations, we're also not yet doing that. Are you disappointed?
Well, I think that, you know, I think in a perfect world, we would not have slowed down. We would not have pulled back. But I also think that we have to recognize how much change the system can handle at any one time. I don't think we needed to roll everything back, but some of those changes we were already recommending.